please let me sit on your left shoulder, kind of nudging you, saying, remember, Richard Branson liked what I said. Good things come to those who initiate. Pick up the phone, send the email, send the text. And if you really want to be remembered, Beyonce said, put a ring on it, put a stamp on it, put it in the mail. And when people get something with a stamp that opens that isn't a bill, you will be remembered.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Susan Rohan. There's three facts I think you should know about Susan. One, she is a best-selling author. Her book, What Do I Say Next, was a bestseller. And even more than that, her book, How to Work a Room, sold over 1.2 million copies in 14 countries. Two, Susan is recognized by the media as a guru of networking. In fact, Forbes.com called her that. She's spoken around the world. She's been featured in the New York Times, The Guardian, on CNN, the BBC, in the Chicago Tribune, and Wall Street Journal. The third fact, her clients include Coca-Cola, the Air Force, United Health Group, Yale University, Apple Computer, Kraft Foods, Intel, Stanford University, LinkedIn, the National Football League, and more. Oh, and of course, her personal favorite, Hershey chocolate. You know, I said there's three things you should know about Susan. I think there's one more bonus point. Susan was quoted by Sir Richard Branson in his list of 10 quotes to mark things, to make things happen. Susan, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you. And I love that intended message you just delivered.
Fabulous. Now, first of all, Richard Branson still doesn't take my calls, but he quotes you. And tell us about that quote and why it was significant. Why did he choose that?
Well, it's the quote that came from How to Work a Room, where I identified the roadblocks to working a room. And one of them was that somebody told us, just wait, you know, good things will come to those who wait. You know, it's an old saying. And what I revised as the remedy was, no, good things come to those who initiate. And he really loved that. In fact, on the list that day, there were 10, and I was like right behind Diana Ross. And I thought, oh, that makes me a backup singer to the Supremes. But I was very honored. And I think he saw that as one of the goals we should have, one of the intended actions we should do is initiate. So, you know, George, for the people watching and listening, when you're thinking about, should I call, shouldn't I call, please let me sit on your left shoulder, kind of nudging you, saying, remember, Richard Branson liked what I said. Good things come to those who initiate. Pick up the phone, send the email, send the text. And if you really want to be remembered, Beyonce said, put a ring on it, put a stamp on it, put it in the mail. And when people get something with a stamp that opens that isn't a bill, you will be remembered.
I go through that that pain every week when I look in the mailbox and what do I see? Don't get checks in the mail anymore. They go directly. So there's only bills that come in the mail. And I can't remember the last time someone sent me a personal note.
Well, I have always been a great supporter of our United States Postal Service. Of course, they were one of my clients. They also hired me to speak. And now let me share this with our audience. You would think maybe the Postmaster General found me. No, it was my high school friend who I also went to first grade with, who ended up being an executive in the sales team. And he saw me, I went back to Chicago, and here's how he said, "Hey, Suze, want to speak for the post office?" Perfect, Chicago. It worked. I did a couple of talks, loved the people, because they really are frontline people with communicating with all of us, whether they're in a postal office or whether they're delivery, communication is really important. So I've always been a big believer in it. If I may give everyone a little hint, when you get stamps, ask for the commemorative. I just got Bugs Bunny stamps. Who wouldn't love a letter that has a Bugs Bunny on it? I've gotten artists. I had Marvin Gaye, for those of you who remember that fabulous soul singer. And so I believe that sending something in the mail, birthday cards, nice that you send them the ones that they have to click on, open, to click on the bird, listen to the message. If someone really matters, put a card in the mail. And especially a condolence card. When you talk about intended message, one of my friends, who's also a quite well-known LinkedIn expert, told me that when his mom died, he got over 59 text messages from friends. I said, wow. And then he paused and he said, "But you know, I only got 9 condolence cards." And I want to tell you, I was one of the 9, because 6 months later, they don't save that text message, but they save that card, and it does the nurturing and support that people need a little later. So intended message, figure out the right method of delivering it.
Now, Susan, that's interesting, because many of us probably think or believe that, I sent them a message, I text them or I emailed them, but even though you had an intended message, the message it actually delivered is influenced by how it is delivered.
Exactly. In fact, I would say this, in the glitchy world of technology, I thought I sent, and this happened the last 2 weeks, emails to 2 of my pals. I was wondering, I was asking them a question, if I can't believe I haven't heard from them. And I use Apple Mail, which I often call rotten Apple Mail, because it does not deliver. It was nowhere in my sent, nowhere in, and I always get copies of my emails. They never got it. And here's me going, why didn't they answer me? And the truth is, it didn't go. It got caught. I really believe that as these emails fly out, they are intercepted by evil ghosts. Sometimes Casper the Friendly One that plays tricks on us. So I would say that you got to be careful. Yes, a glitch can happen in mail as well. But you know what? It doesn't hurt to do one method good for sure. Try 2 methods, an email and a card. A text and an email.
Now, Susan, when I reached out to you, I sent you an email, and I was both surprised and pleased that I almost immediately got a phone call back from you. I picked up the phone, and there's Susan Rowan calling me, and I was impressed once with your immediate response and the fact that you. To me, that was, of course, much more personal than an email, and so that made an impression. Tell us. In the world of networking, what's the message there? What's the takeaway?
For me, the takeaway is if everybody's sending an email, or if they're sending a WhatsApp, or if they're sending a text, and I'm going to get this right here, pick up the phone. Now, some of you don't know what this looks like because all you have is the computer that has a phone app, but I have a phone and I use it. I'm originally from Chicago. I live in Marin County outside of San Francisco. How do you stay in touch with people? Well, for a long time, it was strictly by phone or letter. In fact, when I wrote originally Secrets of Savvy Networking, I added in a chapter of how to use the phone because people were avoiding it. And I also did that in face-to-face. There are people who will do anything but make a phone call. In fact, someone said, she said the only way she got any response from her college-age child was to not leave a message, but make sure he saw that mother called, because leaving a message means he doesn't have to call you back. And I thought, well, that was interesting. Being able to pick up the phone is now an unique skill. And I will plug my friend Joanne Black's book, because she wrote a book, and I love the name of it, Pick Up the Damn Phone. And I had to say it in the tone that I could hear myself say that. While everyone else is doing something technological, call people, and I'll tell you why, even if they don't pick up. And some people don't check their messages for whatever reason, I don't understand. But when you leave a message after you've met someone or saw someone on a Zoom or found someone in LinkedIn, they can hear your tone. They can hear your warmth. That's the intended message. If you saw something that was fabulous and you call someone and say, in fact, I just did this. Someone had something wonderful happen and I picked up the phone and said, this is so fabulous. Congratulations. And I, how many emojis could I use to convey that? And I left the message and said, there's no way that I could write this. I want you to hear how fabulous and happy I am for you. And that's the intended message.
Susan, in today's world of pandemic and virtual meetings and work from home, does networking still apply? Does it apply? Maybe jumping ahead, if so, how?
Okay. In fact, I just wrote this as a tweet today. That's why I just, it's not only applicable, it's mandatory. Because the one thing we want to do is stay visible. We want to be, you know, you can sit and talk about brand this, brand that, unless it's chocolate, I don't care about the brand. No, I'm not good. It's staying visible. In fact, when I was through my career, I called what I did the visibility seminar. I mean, networking is your key to visibility and being foremost in people's minds. So, but it is networking. But I'd like to give you one of the tenets that I created. Actually, there were 10, but I decided to reduce it to 3. But one of the tenets is that networking is not a science. And I know there are people going, well, it's really a science. Well, it actually is based on physics. So if you study physics, you understand links and linkages, et cetera. In fact, I read Dr. Barabasi's book, Links, and I had to read every sentence 3 times. So there is a science to that, but that's not what we're talking about. Networking is not a science. Because if you treat it that way, then you're transactional. Networking is an art. And what I've always said and wrote is networking is the art of communication. Because we know people who are artful conversationalists, and we know people who, oh my God, it's a slog to have to talk to them. And I won't mention names.
Susan, the art of communication, I guess some of the challenges might be a person who is trying to have meaningful conversation. First of all is, geez, I don't think I should talk to her. I don't think I should call her. So that's the first challenge that people need to get over. And if we were at a meeting room somewhere where we, you know, there's people, physical bodies, we're looking at those people on the other side of the room and saying, oh, I can't talk to them. They're above my pay grade. How does one get over that feeling of like you don't belong here?
You know, when I wrote How to Work a Room, I was very lucky that someone turned me on to Dr. Pam Butler's book, and it is a classic. It's about self-talk. And she had a section in her book on self-talk. So when I wrote my book, I quoted her, and then I took some of the things that we say to ourselves when we're in a room, and we also say that to ourselves in a Zoom room too, and I rephrase that. So you want to reframe that self-talk. First of all, people are in that room for the purpose of meeting you. I'm going to play this sort of the way my mother would have said this. So you think they came to the room to stand by themselves? No, they came to the room to be present, whether it's to learn something, to meet people, to support an organization. People want to meet people. Nobody gets dressed up as we did in the old days, March 5th. Nobody gets dressed up, goes to an event, even now in our social distance time, we can now have a few people at an event, to not meet you. That's not the issue. So what I'm going to tell you is that person that you think might be the big kahuna, and why would they want to talk to you? By the way, that's a very good movie to rent, even with Kevin Spacey in it, because it addresses how we misunderstand what it's like to go to a trade show, an event, a room, and look for the important person. First of all, we're all important. Second of all, you don't know who the person standing next to you that doesn't have the big title, you don't know who they know. You don't know who they're related to. And they may be dressed in not the best outfit because they don't have to, because they're already a success. So don't judge a book by its cover. You can't judge tomorrow's book. This is a Susan Rowan tenet. You can't judge tomorrow's book by today's cover. And this is quoting my grandmother, and you'll hear this all over your life. You never know. You never know. So here's the bottom line with intended message. We have to be nice to everybody. Now, I know probably some people are saying, well, that's not, I don't know where that, I want something more substantial. No, you don't. Be nice to everyone, because you never know.
Susan, were you always a natural networker? Was that something that you were just born to do, or did you struggle with it at some point?
You know, it's really interesting. When I first wrote How to Work a Room, someone at a book event in San Francisco said, well, how did you learn how to work a room? And I thought about that. I was paused, not because some speaker told me to pause. I paused because I was thinking, what's the answer? And I said, what learned? My mother made me. So my mother's from Toronto. And when the family would come for events, my mother would say, oh, Susan, I would be 11 or 12. Go talk to the Toronto family, make sure they're welcome. And then she'd say, and make sure they don't talk to so-and-so. And I thought, oh, that was a big job. But I watched how my mother made people comfortable. Our house was the open house and was inclusive. And that's just what I did. And I wondered if I was like that in grammar school or high school, but I'll tell you what, a little something about me now. I do have the Zoom Pro account because Miss Patricia Fripp said, Rowan, I know you have a Zoom account because you do a lot of podcasts. Cough up the money and get the Pro account. She said, if you're hosting your cousins in a brunch, you don't want it to shut off after 40 minutes. I go, are you kidding? That's just us getting our names out. So I then invited two of my grammar school friends. Well, now every month, about 9 of us from grammar school, the Boone girls from Chicago, we meet. I started something with my high school friends, and 13 of us in 6 states meet every other month. So if I say to you, I think I was like this because it was the embrace people, include people, but I'll share this with your audience. I also was a protector. I was the older sister of a brother who contracted polio when he was 2 and a half. So he wore a brace by the time he was 3, and you know how people can be. So I was always that person that had to make sure he was okay. So I was always very sensitive to people who were excluded. So if that gives you a little insight into why I'm that way. But here's the other thing. So when I wrote Out of Work Room, everyone expected me to be out there. And one day I attended my friend's son's first birthday party, and another author said to me, "Well, you're working his first birthday." And I go, "No, the clown's working it. I'm off today." But the expectation is that I'll always be out there. So I always try to make people feel comfortable. I'm going to give you all a hint. When we get back into rooms, even when we're in Zoom, pay attention to the person who's not participating very much. Pay attention to the person standing alone. It's not that they have nothing to say. People are shy. In fact, according to Dr. Zimbardo, who did work and started the Stanford Shyness Clinic, it varies between 88 and 92% of us will self-identify as shy, and we'll be shy in a Zoom room, we'll be shy at an event. So reach out to those people, because you will be doing something that's very kind, and you don't know who they are. And everybody has a story. And on Zoom, we can do this through the chat option. You see someone, they maybe introduce themselves and said where they're from or what they're doing, or you notice something in their background, like my book's back here, and you can send a private message. So you can start the conversation. Notice people. So yes, I think I was always like that. And that's why I was asked to please write a book so other people who were shy or who may feel that they're introverted could make themselves comfortable in any room. Oh, George, intended message. And I do this in all my talks, and I did it in the book. I did it in all the books. I have an idea that'll make you comfortable in any Zoom or any room. And that is, instead of worrying about yourself, turn it around, act like the host, even if you aren't, and make it your goal to make other people comfortable with you. When you do that, it takes the onus off of you. You're not worried about, am I not enough? And you may make a new friend and a new client.
Now, here's something I wonder if people get wrong. And because I think I did for a long time when it came to networking, I used to go to networking events, whether it was at the chamber or a local convention, and I'd go there with my cards thinking, I've got to get some leads. And I'm guessing that's probably the wrong approach.
I'm guessing your guess is good.
Because it didn't work.
It didn't work. Now, number one, we should all have business cards. Now, I know I live in the area of the Silicon Valley. I can't tell you how many times these people have said, "Oh, I haven't had a card in 8 years." And I actually had that happen when I was the keynote speaker at LinkedIn, which is here in the Silicon Valley. I asked someone, I said, "Oh, do you have a card?" And she said, "Oh, no, you can look me up on LinkedIn." She gave me the best story I tell in all my talks, because I then follow it up with, what I wanted to say to her is, "Really? You gave me homework?" You know, and then I got to get out a phone or a computer or an iPad. Then I have to go to LinkedIn. Then I have to look for you. Give me a card and let me follow up. So you could say I don't use cards, and none of us do, but, and here's the marketing. If you are somewhere and someone wants a card, if that person has the job for you or the lead for you, you don't tell them, "No, I don't have cards." And let's just say you have an idea for the business and they're a venture capital person looking for a place to put their $2 million. Don't give them homework, give them a card. You can make it. If you don't want to do a big run of 1,000, fine. You can, with all the technology, you can make 100 cards for almost next to nothing. And you have something that you can hand people. You never know. That person who's standing 6 feet away from you in the grocery store might want your card. You may have to leave it on the counter so they could pick it up and then put hand sanitizer on it. I don't cook, but at the beginning of all this, I made my own hand sanitizer because we were running out. I go, oh my God, why didn't I learn to bake chocolate chip cookies? But I made a good hand sanitizer. And do you see what I just did, George? I brought some of Susan Personal, in fact, a lot of Susan Personal, into the conversation. You now already know I'm not a good cook. You now already know that I could cook you up some hand sanitizer. You probably already know from that that I observe the science practices of being careful in this day of COVID because of what I said about 6 feet apart. And so bring, and I want you to write this down. I'm a former teacher. Please write this down, all of you. Bring who you are to what you do. People might be impressed that, oh, you do this. But when you add in what you might do in your volunteer time or spare time, I know someone who has a job but volunteers at the Humane Society. That's nice. I have someone else who volunteers at the food bank here. So sometimes what people do in their spare time or what they're interested might be different than their job title, but it might be the excited thing they talk about. And if you want to know what people are interested in, this is a tip. It's not science, it's art. Listen to them. People will tell you what they want to talk about. So instead of throwing out the cards and then saying, well, I have an agenda. By the way, anyone who goes anywhere or even to a Zoom event with an agenda, it's as if you have it written on your forehead and we could tell. We generally don't like people with agendas. We don't feel as comfortable with them. Yes, you should have a purpose, but you have to be, and this is something I wrote and I would repeat that. It was in, I think, my second book. Be guided by your goals, not blinded by them. As I met someone at an event, she had an agenda. She did, and she was a total bulldozer. Thank you. I didn't like talking to you, but I so appreciated the material for 3 books and 25 speeches. Be guided by your goals, not blinded by them.
Powerful advice. Now, Susan, there's another challenge that we might face in networking, especially when we start getting back together again. Online, it might be easier to disengage. When you've got that person talk to you and they're just talking about themselves, and it's clear they're not really interested in a relationship, they're just talking about themselves and you want to get away from them, what can you do? What can you say?
Okay, this is the most asked question in, I don't know, the 38 years I've been talking about this subject. You need to exit. And you want to do it gracefully. And there are 3 ways to do it. The first, when you are in person, what you just say, you interrupt yourself, not them. And just say, hey, it was so nice to talk to you about, or if you're in Canada, a boot. That's what my family said. And then you put in a phrase that shows that you were listening when they were talking. And you might say, if you haven't exchanged cards, do you have a card? If they don't ask you for one and you want them to have one, may I offer you one of mine? And then when we are back with people, and this will help when we're socially distanced, and then you walk, you know, a quarter of the room away from the person. You don't turn your back on people because that means you're then turning your back on people. Now, the second way to exit is Okay, what if you're having a conversation with someone and it is torture? So you can't say it was nice talking to you. Here's what you do. You say, I hope you enjoy the rest of the event. And you're still polite because that day they may have found out that mother fell and they don't know if she has to be in a rehab. They may find out that the company that they work for is thinking about sending more layoff letters. You don't know. They may be not open because something's going on in their life. It has nothing to do with you. So you want to be polite and say, oh, I hope you enjoy the rest of the event. Big smile. And you still walk a quarter of the way, room away. Then the third exit is not really an exit. It was taught to me by someone who was a founder of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. You bring the person with you. Oh, hey, George, have you met Patricia? Why don't we go over and say hello? Now, I had someone, when I did this in a keynote, say, well, isn't that dumping the person? No, not unless you dump them. Conversation's organic, especially when we are in groups. This one's talking to this one, then they move this way and someone else comes along. So allow for the organic nature of conversation. On Zoom, it's a little different. When you want to have an internal conversation with someone and we're all sitting in our Brady Bunch Hollywood Square boxes, you can privately chat with them. It would actually be rude because I was on a Zoom where all of a sudden three people were talking about something and the other three of us were going, you're planning a lunch and we're in different states? Do that on your own time. You could tell it was all Chicago people. This is how it is. So you want to be respectful of other people that are on the Zoom to not have cross talk and just use the chat for that. Also, can I give a hint about something that happened in a chat? I got on a Zoom where I didn't know anyone and it was a subject I was interested in. And all of a sudden I started seeing the chat fill up with people putting their LinkedIn information. That's like handing out a business card to strangers. There was no exchange. The person hadn't introduced themselves to the group. We knew nothing about them. So who cares? Even in Zoom, exchanging personal information links should follow a connection, should follow a conversation. And when you're on Zoom and you hear someone say something interesting, private message them or say it to everyone. Oh my God, wasn't it fabulous when? And that's how we can do that. And then if you want to follow up, and I'm going to say this about intended message. The key to it all, and I'm going to quote Patricia who said, her strength is her follow-up. There are so many people that say, oh sure, I know someone, why don't you call me? And the person never calls them. Or here's a lead. And then you find out, you call the person and say, hey, expect a call from so-and-so. And the person never gets in touch. Follow up, follow up, follow up. This is all about developing relationships. And the intended message is, I'm talking to you because I think you're interesting and we have something in common and we should really connect. But if you don't follow up, there's none of that.
You know, Susan, I was looking for a wrap-up message, and I think that's probably it. If there's one reminder that everyone needs to be reminded of, especially when it comes to networking, is to follow up. And that follows on the first message we talked about, which was to initiate, because follow-up and initiate are closely yep. associated. So if people took away only two lessons from our talk today, one would be to initiate and two is to follow up.
Okay, and three, because I love the magic of threes. Bring who you are to what you do, because who you are is interesting.
Yes, good reminder. Instead of putting on that suit of armor when you go networking and pretend to be someone else. Three positive reminders. My guest today on Your Intended Message is Susan Rowan, the Mingling Maven, author of several books, but the most notable, How to Work a Room, with sales of over 1.2 million sold. Susan, and How to Work the Room. There we go. The book is available in the stores. And Susan mentioned to me privately that she encouraged you not to go to her site in order, but to go and buy it from the local bookstore because, hey, they need the business. They really do. With that, it's time to close and remind you to follow up.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.